Hello, members of the Lasting Supper. This is David Hayward. Welcome to Meet a Member Podcast. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm good. So I'm talking with Kanetha.
Yes.
Kanetha. You know, yes. I always thought it was Kanetha, but Kanetha.
Yes.
Okay. Kanetha Stanton.
That's me.
And I'm David Hayward.
I hadn't guessed.
Yeah. So how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's been a crazy busy day, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Uh-huh. Tell us a bit about yourself. I want to thank you for being on the Lasting Supper. And I tell everybody, and I really do sincerely mean this, I so appreciate your voice there and your input and, you know, your creativity and your angle on things. It's always really appreciated. So I really love you being there. And you've been on a really interesting journey. I hope we get to uncover some of that for some of the folks on TLS today.
Sure.
So just tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you? Where have you been? actually, where do you live?
I live in Indianapolis, in Indiana, in the U.S.
Yeah.
I've been here now about 6 years. So,
so tell us a bit about how'd you make it to the Lasting Supper? Like, how did you find your way there, and what kind of a journey have you been on? And have you been a churchgoer, or are you still? Or what's the gist of your story?
Okay, that was a lot of questions. So
Well, just jump in. Just jump in wherever. I threw you in the deep end, so start swimming.
I can do that. Starting with The Lasting Supper, I watched your cartoons on Paytheos for I don't know how long, but it was okay. It was something you mentioned in one of the cartoons, and I decided to check it out. And that's probably been 2-3 months ago now, I guess.
Yeah, I just started in Paytheos. I think it was February or March. It hasn't been all that long ago since I've been with them, actually.
Well, then I must have come across your posts otherwise, because I know I've been seeing your cartoons longer than...
Yeah, they get around. They get around, I must admit.
So. They're good ones.
Yeah.
So, my story, I grew up very fundamentalist Southern Baptist.
Ooh, I didn't know that. Did I know that?
I don't know if you knew that or not, but...
Well, we do now.
You do now. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, completely in that mindset. So as a child, you know, I wasn't rebelling against it. I was, you know, as fundamentalist as they come.
Mm-hmm.
I look back now and I don't think I could stand myself. you know, I do come from a broken home. So
right. There
was also some dysfunction going on in the family at the same time as being in this really fundamentalist space, which, you know, kind of added some weirdness
to that. Yeah.
But as my mom remarried and, you know, as I moved sort of into high school years, my mom and stepdad actually became even more fundamentalist than we had been growing up,
wow.
Which, you know, at a time when I was becoming a teenager, added some real tension.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, that's interesting. We'll continue with your story here in a second, but that sure. happened to me too. Like, I remember my mom and dad sitting around drinking beer with their friends and playing cards and everything. And then just around the time when I could start looking forward to, you know, being able to drink, that's when they quit. So anyway,
they got more
conservative, and which indicates to me now looking back that it was really fear-based. You know, they were very scared about, you know, they were raising 5 kids all going into their teens, and so they were predicting the trouble.
Yeah, well, that would scare anybody, I think.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. My mom and stepdad got involved with the Bill Goddard movement,
okay.
Which was, you know, very authoritarian.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, any guy that wanted to ask me out actually had to talk to my stepdad so that the men could negotiate whether or not I could go on a date. And
did you ever get it to go out on a date?
Not real often. but, you know, my stepdad now is, he's a trained apologist for the creationist viewpoint. So he goes to churches to spread the word about creationism. And my mom's a personal friend of James Dobson and thinks he's wonderful. So I struggled through high school. You know, I would go back and forth between being really rebellious, right, which meant that, you know, they were in this phase that even Christian rock music was evil because it had drums.
Yes.
And anything with drums summoned the Satan and whatever.
Now I remember all that. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, rebellion meant I listened to heavy metal music. You know, so even when I was at my
You were naughty. Holy smokes.
But, you know, I never was horribly naughty.
No, I know.
To others, but you know, it was enough that it caused huge problems in the family. But I would kind of go back and forth between that and trying to toe the line. And even as I headed, you know, I married at 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, wow.
Yeah.
That is young. I mean, my wife was 19 when we got married, so that's young.
But 17 was, you know, I look back and just shake my head, but. You know, my husband then did a similar thing of becoming more and more conservative and wanting more and more for me to be submissive and obey. And I'm just not good at that at all. I mean, really not at all. So, you know, that wound up not lasting. But through all of that.
Can I ask you how long it lasted? You were 17 when you got married. How long?
5 years.
Okay. Geez, you were just 22.
I was 22, getting divorced.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Wow.
But, you know, through all that and some stuff that went on after that, you know, it forced me to start asking questions.
Uh-huh.
And I still did a lot of sort of going back and forth and struggling with, you know, I felt like I needed to do the right thing. And so I would, like, try to go back to Baptist churches. And, of course, you know, by then 25, and I'd immediately get questions with, well, what's wrong with you that you're not married with children?
I'm like, sorry. I'm just so sorry.
It's okay. I mean, it actually wasn't good.
Yeah, well, no, I love the way you're framing your story because it really, you know, it really does capture the gist of what goes on. But yeah. Okay, so you're 25 and you still weren't married with kids.
Yeah. And that was a problem, clearly.
Yeah.
So I went to a Vineyard church for a while.
Really?
In Cincinnati. And that was helpful. It kind of helped me move actually a little bit more progressive.
Mm-hmm. I get Vineyard, yeah, for sure. They're more progressive, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it wasn't far enough, and it, at least where I wasn't getting the kind of meat that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I wound up becoming confirmed Episcopalian, and I attended the Episcopalian church for quite a while, until I moved to an area that, in Illinois, where it was one of those dioceses that did not ordain women and did not accept homosexuals and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped going at that point and have never really gotten back to church. You know, I make attempts every once in a while. I'm probably the most comfortable now with the unprogrammed Quakers, which are fairly liberal, and plenty of them wouldn't even necessarily identify themselves as Christian. But
can you just really briefly describe that type of Quaker? Is that sitting in silence?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a sitting in silence. They have no pastor whatsoever.
Right.
But it is they call them meetings instead of church services.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You meet in silence, and anybody who feels led by the Spirit to speak, speaks whatever they need to, which, I mean, there's times I've gone and nobody has spoken the entire hour. Other times there might be two or three different people that'll speak up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just such an openness, not only to the fact that God can speak to anybody, and there isn't sort of that dichotomy of, you know, the priesthood versus the regular people.
Right.
But there's also just such openness to people being wherever they are in their journey, whether they consider themselves Christian or not, regardless of what other influences they may incorporate into their spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. Well, they believe that everybody has the spark within them, right? So it's like,
yes.
It doesn't necessarily have to look the same way, but they do have that faith in humanity that every person carries within them the spark.
Yes.
A piece of the original light sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they call it the inner light.
Inner light, yeah.
So, but yes, I don't currently attend church. I do work at a seminary, so.
You do?
Yes. It's a progressive Protestant seminary, but.
Uh-huh.
I am involved in theological type conversations all the time. So in some ways, that's my community and my church.
Uh-huh.
But I also, you know, I'm sort of on the fringes of I consider myself sort of within the Christian fold, but then I'm also, I have a lot of influences outside of that as far as my spiritual life.
Uh-huh.
So I, you know, I'm kind of on the fringes.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask you which, is it a seminary, did you say, or?
Yes, Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis. It's affiliated with the Disciples of Christ.
What do you do there?
I am program manager and assistant to the executive director of the Center for Pastoral Excellence, which is a grant-funded program that has several initiatives mm-hmm. that look all the way from sort of the first vocational calling all the way through a lifetime of pastoring. Huh. So it's various things to help with people wherever they are in that journey.
When you're on the Lasting Supper, you're kind of like me. I can tell you're kind of like me in a way where you're hard to pin down theologically. I heard you giggle there, but I don't think that's a bad thing at all. So, you know, I just detected in you a real breadth of your arms are open wide, and you've come out of a very conservative fundamentalist background, and you're just kind of wide open. That's the impression I get.
Yes. I am. And I have found so much that speaks to me and nurtures me outside of the Christian tradition.
Yeah, like what?
I actually do some work with a shaman here in town. I'm a yoga teacher, so there's parts of like the yogic philosophy and some Buddhist meditation philosophy that speaks to me. Mm-hmm. Even things within the Jewish tradition, they're... Midrash and that sort of wrestling with story and being able to re-envision story and question story, I find to be very powerful. So I would say those are my predominant influences mm-hmm. outside of Christianity. So it's like Christianity is my native language, but these other languages have added such richness to the experience that I can't deny that they exist.
Yeah, I've said this before. People are going to get sick of hearing me say it, but the way I say it is I've got my home's in Christianity, but I have cottages everywhere.
Yeah.
And so tell us, you said you work with a shaman. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Sure.
Because the reason why I ask is the background I came out of was Pentecostal. Shaman was the equivalent of, you know, demon worker. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right.
Yeah, that's kind of my background too. So yeah, that's been kind of interesting. I actually... had done some reading. I was reading more about like the goddess traditions,
right,
and trying to help myself move away from that very patriarchal understanding of God. And a lot of the goddess traditions are more pagan in background. And so through that, I sort of got introduced to some of the pagan philosophies.
Uh-huh.
But I actually had somebody recommend that I work with a shaman with a very specific issue. And I was at a point that I was like, why not give it a try? And I had at that point, I think, already trained as a Reiki practitioner, which is a healing energy technique, which again was kind of, you know, that was already a step.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that direction.
With the hands. Yeah.
So this shaman, you know, is very contemporary. She's very much into death metal, which is, you know, still strikes me as a little strange, but. I mean, she's just as normal a person as could be.
Yeah.
But she teaches a lot of classes about using energy techniques for self-care. She has a whole set of rites that she takes people through. She does ceremonies with, you know, ceremonial fires and such. And I was quite involved for a while.
Have you done a sweat lodge?
I have not done a sweat lodge, no. For me, there were pieces of it that I found very nurturing, the very nature-centered part of it,
right,
and finding validity in nature. A lot of the work she does is really helping people tap into their own intuitive knowing, which is something that at a very young age I had blocked because I learned that people weren't comfortable with that.
Right.
So it has been very healing for me to learn to sort of listen to what I know. Mm-hmm. And that has been the most powerful gift I've gotten from that. But there were pieces of it, you know, the medicine bag and the, you know, needing to give offerings to your medicine bag and all that, that were really challenging for me coming from my background.
Mm-hmm.
I think just with my temperament, having that much what felt very fussy and very...
Yeah. Fussy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of stuff that you need to do.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And I think I lean more towards that almost mystical, contemplative, sitting in silence, that I don't need to have all these props and all these extras and,
ritual.
You know. Yeah.
Interesting.
So while I enjoy a good Episcopalian mass, you know, for the most part, I really lean more towards a much more independent, mm-hmm. quiet form of spirituality, I think.
Interesting. I'm a real big fan of Renaissance church music, like, mm-hmm. you know, out of England.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just I really love that stuff. My wife is part Choctaw Indian.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I always tease her because she could legally be status, but, you know, and we could save a lot of money and not pay, but she refuses to do it. But anyway, it'd be impossible because I don't think there's any papers. But she's like a quarter Choctaw Indian, and she would have dreams and things, and she'd hear stories, and she would just resonate with. And she basically came to faith in a Pentecostal church, and we met in a Pentecostal Bible college, and blah blah blah. Ended up Vineyard and everything, but. She really resonates with Native spirituality. It's just in her, you know. She loves nature. Mm-hmm. She has no qualms about getting in touch with what she wants and how she wants to get in touch with nature or the all or the mystery or the divine, whatever you want to call it. And she's even visited, there's a couple here who are Aboriginal people that she's visited who provide spiritual direction, you know, and like, it's just, she has no qualms about it. It's like she doesn't feel any shame or embarrassment or feels like she's betraying anything. It's just really so much a part of who she is. And so it's interesting that, you know, for a lot of people, they feel like they're trespassing or betraying something. And I think it's just, you know, us getting back to our roots.
Yeah. So it's, you know, for me, it's not like a primary form of my spirituality in the sense that I don't spend a lot of time going to the ceremonial fires and whatever. Mm-hmm. But there are pieces of it, this, you know, being in touch with nature and with my own inner knowing. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of work with oracle cards that, you know, for me, help me figure out what it is what's going on with me. It's sort of a way that I tap into my intuition. And, you know, some of that has just been so powerful for me.
Really?
In just healing.
What's oracle cards? Is that the same as tarot?
It's similar. Tarot okay. has a very set number of cards and, you know, which...
yeah.
The lineup of cards. Oracle cards tend to be more free-flowing. And I've worked with both, but I have a few sets of oracle cards that, you know, just for whatever reason, I resonate with a little better. But yes, it's very similar.
See, man, this really, really, really goes against all that we were taught, wasn't it? It doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it works.
It does.
I mean, what, you know, I don't attach any more divinity or supernatural or anything to these objects or things we're using. They're just tools, right? They're tools that help us get in touch with our own spirituality and help us find our own path. Don't you agree? Or
that's exactly how I see it. So yeah. Whatever the cards tell me, I don't see it as, you know, there's some being out there that's telling me something. Mm-hmm. It's really how I listen to my own intuition based on what I get and how I react to it. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I see it as sort of how the spirit moves within me, but not as an outside anything.
You're also an artist.
Yes.
And you mentioned in one of the forum threads, a kind of art, Japanese form of mending broken pieces together with gold.
Yes.
What's that art form called again?
Kintsugi. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Like there's some, yeah. And you showed some of your art. It's just, you gave your website. I find that really moving. There's something really, true about that art.
Yeah. That's how it has been for me. We all get broken.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's part of the human condition is we all get broken, mm-hmm. and it's a matter of what do we do with that brokenness? And, you know, I spent so many years either trying to deny I was broken or fixating on the wounds or
needing to get fixed,
you know, all of these things. And part of what Kintsugi does and I don't do true Kintsugi, I sort of do my own Kintsugi style work, but
right.
you know, it takes those broken places and it makes them a place of beauty. And the times when I have allowed myself to heal from the places I've broken, those really have become some of the most beautiful places in my life, because that healing has such power. And, you know, when other people see that healing in me, it gives them hope. And so the ability to take my wounds from something ugly to something that's a place of beauty that ministers to others. And, you know, kind of becomes my medicine, as the shamans would say, it becomes my medicine to heal the world around me. Completely reframes the idea of that brokenness.
It's like one of our Canadian singer-songwriters, Leonard Cohen, says there's a crack in everything, but that's how the light gets in. Kanetha, if somebody says, ask you, do you believe in God? How do you answer that?
Or well, do you? Probably depends on who asked.
good answer.
But if you're asking, I do believe in God in the sense that I believe there is a divine that is bigger than humans. I am very agnostic about whether I believe that that God is a, you know, anthropomorphic, personal something. I tend to resonate more with the idea of sort of the ground of being. I also, you know, on my own sort of play with the idea, you know, the Bible says God is love. And I wonder sometimes if that's really more true than we give it credit for. So when two or three are gathered, God is present because of the relationship and the love and the unity between those people, not because God as a third party shows up in that moment. You know, and so there's a part of me that's really wondering, you know, kind of the process theology idea of, you know, how much that's, it's all based on relationship, and it's, it is relationship is where God is.
I totally resonate with that. Like even Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send the Spirit. So where, wherever you are together in love, that's where I'll be. I really do think that that's, that is the presence, is the love. I really do think the Spirit is not some extraterrestrial other thing separate from us, but it's actually in our collective love for each other. I think that is actually Spirit. So I totally resonate with what you're saying.
Yeah, and more, that's sort of where I wind up. So I tend to avoid using God unless I'm with somebody that that's their word. But I tend for myself to use more the idea of divine because it is gender neutral and it doesn't carry some of the baggage for me that God does.
Wow. Kanetha, we're coming to the end of our time here. Is there anything you'd like to say to the members of the Lasting Supper, or anything you wanted to say that you didn't get a chance to?
I have just been so grateful for my time at the Lasting Supper. I was part of an Episcopalian, well, actually Anglican worldwide email listserv for probably about 10 years. That was my community for a while, but, you know, it would constantly go through these huge battles and uproars and, you know, people trying to fix one another. And it has just been such a place of grace at the Lasting Supper that we're able to sit with our differences and to allow each other to be in different places on our journey and to have different opinions about what God is or isn't or might be. And that we don't jump to fixing one another and fighting and being nasty to one another.
I think it's remarkable too.
It's really been a blessing and a place of grace and mercy.
Yeah.
To see that. So.
Well, thanks so much. Really nice talking with you, Kanetha. It's I don't feel like we're friends, and you know.
It's been fun.
I got to come down there and visit everybody. I was just saying to somebody, well, the podcast that I put on today with Giordana Tocacelli, saying I got to get in the car and do a road trip. I got to come by and see everybody in every city. So,
oh, that would be great.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Hey, maybe you could get me in on a class and have me as a guest to one of the classes there. That would be a lot of fun. I'd love to talk to some students.
Oh, that would be great. I will have to keep my eye out for opportunities to do that. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, having been a pastor for 30 years, and I'm very sympathetic for pastors, and I have a heart for pastors, and so often I'm you know, actually I was called one today. I'm often accused of being one still, so.
You are.
Well, thanks so much, Kanetha. Nice talking with you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And all the best.
Thank you. You too. I'll see you on the Lasting Supper.
Yeah, see you there. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Kenetha Stanton, a member of the Lasting Supper. Wow, you guys are fascinating, just amazing people, and such a pleasure talking with her. If you want me to talk with you, just let me know. If you want others to get a little insight into your life, I'd love to chat with you on the Lasting Supper podcast. Meet a member. Talk to you guys and see you on the Lasting Supper. Bye for now.